over the past couple of Sundays, it struck me that there are not many church choirs that have visual aids in them, but last Sunday we spoke on the theme of hope, and well, we have hope in the choir, and today we speak of joy, and a couple of seats along from hope sits joy. So thank you very much. Joy is one of those themes that seems to run through our Christmases. And if you think about Christmas, if you were asked to give words that come to your mind, I am fairly certain it wouldn't be long until joy or rejoicing or enjoying came to your mind. Joy is one of those big themes. It may be the joy of a child opening a gift. And who can resist that look of childlike joy? Who can resist that chuckle, that smile? It just melts your heart. The joy of a child opening a gift. Or it may be not that many weeks ago we sent over 300 shoeboxes from here. Those shoeboxes, the next week or so, will arrive in Belarus in Eastern Europe. And they will put joy into the hearts of over 300 children. Joy. It may be time spent with family and friends. We just enjoy having time with family and friends. It may be that we enjoy the lights, Belfast City Hall and the market. We just enjoy all these things, and it's good. It's great to be able to enjoy them. But the question must be, what happens when there are no more gifts to open? When the wrapping paper has all been torn into shreds and ended up in recycling, when there's nothing else to open, when the novelty of the gifts that we have got has begun to wear off, the batteries thankfully have run down on those toys that make a dreadful noise, what do we do? What do we do when family and friends have all scattered again? Or maybe it was difficult when they were all together in the first place, I don't know. What do we do when they've all gone? What do we do when the lights are taken down and put away and we're left with those dark nights again? What do we do? Do we look for a new high? Do we look for joy in some way? It's a strange thing. We often talk about looking for joy, wanting joy, and yet joy is what happens often when we're doing something else, when we're looking for something else. Joy, when we go searching for it, striving for it, often does not happen. But we can't end up like addicts who are just looking for a new high, for a new buzz, whatever it is. The gifts are gone, the family is scattered, the lights are down. Where am I going to get my joy now? Where am I going to get my buzz? What's going to keep me through these dark days of winter? We can end up being a joy junkie, just flitting from one place to another, from one thing to another, from one person to another, because we think that there we might find joy. Joy is one of those big themes of Advent and Christmas. And it's not based on anything that we can take down and put away until this time next year. If our joy is based on something which can be taken from us, then we're on shaky ground. The key to Christian joy is the source of that joy. The key to Christian joy is our Lord. The psalmist knew it well. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You fill me with joy in your presence. For the psalmist, just to be in the very presence of God was something that brought great joy to him. He wasn't going out thinking, where can I get joy? He simply wanted to be in God's presence, and there he experienced great joy. You fill me with joy in your presence. The hymn writer, John Newton, in the hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, writes this verse: fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, all the things that we put our trust in, all the things that give us pleasure, all the things that we, we think will give us joy, John Newton reminds us those things are fading. And here it is, solid joys, lasting treasures, what we all want. Solid joy, lasting treasures. None but Zion's children know. None but the children of God know. That's where we find our joy. In God, in his presence. Paul, when he writes to the church at Philippi, he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear it the first time, he says, I will say it again, rejoice. And here's the interesting bit. In the Lord. Because when Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, he's not sitting in some lovely, comfortable, air-conditioned study where he can think great thoughts and put down some wonderful things in his letter. Paul's actually in a prison, chained. As he writes to these folks in Philippi, there are some very somber thoughts in it, including the fact that he may well be martyred, he may well be killed for his faith. And yet Paul writes, rejoice. Not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. The psalmist, in your presence, I'm filled with joy. John Newton, solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. And Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. So joy is not merely the squeal of delight as a child rips open a present. It's not merely the feeling that we have when we see or experience something good around us. It comes from a deep and solid confidence which is built on God. Out on the hillside above Bethlehem, shepherds going about their work, minding their business, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears. And what does the angel say? Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Right from the very start of that Christmas time, this great joy is proclaimed. I bring you good news of great joy. Why? Because a Savior is born for you. A Savior is born for you. There's your joy. There's your source of joy. God in his grace has sent his son. God in his undeserved love for us has sent his son. And through faith we are his children. Through faith we are part of his unfolding plan. And to really know this is where our joy is. To really know that this baby who is born in Bethlehem, who lies in a manger, is our Savior. There's where our joy is. To really know that through faith in this Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us, we can become his children. There's our joy. To really know that we are not just putting in days and years, but we are part of God's unfolding plan. There's our joy. And these are things that are not packed away at the beginning of January. These are things that will not be in the back of a cupboard or up in the roof space until this time next year. As the Spirit of God works in us, Paul reminds us when he writes to Galatians that the joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of what the Holy Spirit does in us and through us, is producing this great joy. The source of our joy is God. Hope read for us this chapter 35 from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah spoke to God's people about the desolate state of their lives. Lives which in many ways had become dried up. Lives which in many ways were parched. Not what they should have been. And as so often through Scripture, that dryness, that desolateness in their lives is compared to being a wilderness. Compared to a desert. But this chapter, which Hope read for us, looks forward with anticipation. Yes, things are dried up, things are parched, things are difficult, things are hard. But Isaiah points forward to a time when this desert, when this parched land, when this wilderness will rejoice and blossom and shout for joy. Things will change. God has promised. And it's not just a little bit of life that will become slightly easier, slightly happier. Isaiah talks about Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon being moved into these wilderness places. These were places that were known for their magnificent trees, for their lush growth. And so when Isaiah says, the desert, well, it'll be like Lebanon, it'll be like Carmel, it'll be like Sharon, he's talking about the extravagance of God's love. He's talking about the greatness of it. God isn't holding back. He's not mean. He's pouring out. And the prophet looks forward to that time. It's a promise of restoration. Was it deserved? Was it earned? No, it wasn't. It was the promise of grace. The promise of grace. And Isaiah fills that out, says the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak, the lame will leap. Waters and streams will run in the parched land. And he finishes with God's people coming home. God's people coming back to him, finding in him their eternal home. And verse 10 simply says, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Here's where our joy is. Our joy is in the restoration and the anticipation of that restoration. Our joy is in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, healed and restored. Our joy is in relationships between us, healed, restored, and enhanced. Our joy is in belonging to a new creation. Our joy is in experiencing not what we already have, but what God is longing to give us. I love this verse from Revelation 21 because it speaks of so much hope. To lives, to a world that's marked with tears, where hearts are broken because of death, where there's mourning, where there's crying, where there's pain, Jesus looks forward to that time when he will come back and these things will be no more. And the gentleness of it, he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. The God who wipes the tears from your eyes, this is where our hope is. This is where our joy is. In the God who promises to make all things new. Our joy is in Jesus, born in Bethlehem, died for our sins, rose victorious, and he will return when our joy will be complete. So where's your joy this Christmas? I sincerely hope that we will all enjoy Christmas. But it needs to go deeper than that. Our joy is in what Jesus has done. Because he set us free. Our joy is in what Jesus is doing because he is changing us by his Spirit moment by moment, day by day. Our joy is in Jesus, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do when he returns. These are all Advent themes. The joy that we have in Jesus. Where is your joy? Not just Advent, not just Christmas, but every moment, every day, where is your joy? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the good things around us that we can enjoy, things around us that give us a lot of pleasure. But forgive us, Lord, that we expect these things to give us that deep joy that is yours alone to give. So in these days, Lord, by your Spirit, turn our hearts towards you. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. And help us there to discover joy indescribable, joy that cannot be limited, joy that cannot be taken away. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.